on the issue of Mishum Shos Mavoch, right? We saw how the Rishonim, different Pshatim the Gemara, and this far as behind it, and tied that into the basic Lumdus. The very last part, very, very last thing I said in Shir, which is in response to a question I think was incorrect. But until then, I stand by. The other interesting part of this Gemara is, of course, the machlokes of Meir and Chachamim. Rav Meir says, Shalosh Nashim Sham Shos Mamoch, either it's a heter or it's a chiyuv, right? Rashi and Rabbeinu Tam, because of Sakana. Right, that's what it says. Shem Yasu Rasandol and Shem Tigol Spina and Shem Saver Ratamos. The Chachamim say Shomer Psayim Hashem. Right, Shamshos Kedarkan. Either it's Mutter or even they have no choice but Mishamsh Kedarkan and Shomer Psayim Hashem. Basically, the sheet of the Chachamim here is that don't worry about Sakana. Hashem will protect you from Sakana. Okay, all the Achronim are already very confused here. Or before that, we find this a number of places in Shas, right? There's a few sugyas in Shas. Again, counting, this Bryce is repeated a few times, but not counting that, right? I have on the page here, I think there are only four other cases, in Shas of Shomer Psayim Hashem, right? Where there's something that's Sakana. And nonetheless, we're matarit, right? L'chor b'pas like chacham. Everyone agrees b'pas like chacham here. No one passes like Rimeir. For the case in Shas, for something sakana, and we're matarit anyway, because of Shomer Psalm Hashem. In the Gemara in Shabbos, they have Hakazas Dam when Madim Zavi. Okay, we're not so holding the astrology anymore nowadays. We don't have the Masorah anymore. But, okay, Madim is Mars, and Mars at a certain angle, or there's different yourselves here, somehow it's dangerous because Mars is blood, and Hakaza is bloodletting. If there's too much blood, a person will bleed to death. So, that's dangerous. And the Gemara there says, but, came in Dashuva Rabbin. Now that everyone does it, Shomer Psarim Hashem. Okay, then there's the Gemara in Yevamos, that's the one about Bris Milah, right? That if you do Bris Milah on a windy day or on a cloudy day, then it's Sakana, but Shomer Psarim Hashem. The Gemara in Avodah Zarah is the sugya of Giloy, right? They're afraid of snake poison. What if you eat fruits at night when you can't see whether they have a hole that maybe a snake bit them or not? And they say, well, what about all fruits once you pick off the stems, right? The grapes and the figs and everything. Once you pick off the stems, how do you know? Maybe the snake bit it there? So the answer is Shomer Psarim Hashem, right? There's certain things that could have danger, but we say Shomer Psarim Hashem. And the Gemara Nida was, Mishamish Leim Tishim Pashvash Amita on the 90th day after conception is Shvichas Damim, is very, very dangerous. Then the Gemara asks, well, how do we know when the 90th day after conception is? So they say, there's five sugyas in Shas where don't worry about the danger, Shomer Psarim Hashem, Hashem will take care of you. And all the Achronim point out that's very, very peculiar, because we know that in Shas all over, we're very makbid about danger. We do not say, just do dangerous things and Hashem will protect you. That's not the halacha at all. As a matter of fact, Chazal are much more machmir than most like secular people nowadays about danger. Even if you're not a brisker, right? Mainstream halacha is very matter about danger, and we do not say Shomer Psarim Hashem. We say you're chayv to Shomer yourself. So, what's pshat in Shomer Psarim Hashem? Like, what makes these five cases unique that it is Shomer Psarim Hashem? What are some of the suggestions? What makes these cases unique? Right, that's what the way the Torah Chaim is, one of the earlier Achronim on Shas, Rav Chaim Shor says, V'yim tomer ma'ishna tzorim ha'novim ha'novim sh'akash roch shomer sa'adam so yochom imenu anachash yishar kol ezvar mesur mitzim giloi. Even within that sugin of Odezara, the fruits Hashem will protect us, so why can't we drink the water also if it's uncovered and Hashem will protect us? Shlomer d'chi heichash yisbar shomer sam dach l'acham t'ishacham yichom lishmar sa'atzmar shalei vol d'i mechshal mash enken shotim d'u efshal lishmar sa'atzmar ha'nami mashkin ishay hu giloi hun yayin mayim chol shim asinu sam ekelim tam v'efshal odim shomer l'sos yafin ne'en ha'chashim v'kach enk shmeros yisbar chalei emol t'ein v'nam milsud lo efshar hu. That's it. Milsud lo efshar. Shomer psar means Hashem guards those who cannot help themselves. And so a pesi, let's say someone's mamish, they're mentally disabled, then they don't have a chrayus, so Hashem takes care of it. Likewise, anything we can't handle, we can't protect, when we can't protect ourselves, it's our job. When we can't protect ourselves, then Hashem steps in, Shomer Psar Hashem, and he says that's really pshat in all of these Gemaras. The same as, how about when Madin, when the Mars is in the wrong angle, like, he says that was also very hard for people to, because sometimes they need it, because that's the only time they had a big Suda, and it was very hard for them, they were very poor. He says, go through all these, they're all very hard. You know, not to be shy, to be fussed on the 90th day after conception, how do you know? How can you do that? And he says, likewise, in this case also, the Sholosh Nashim Mishamshim Pemoch, he doesn't relate to directly, must be too hard, the Sholosh Nashim, to always be Mishamshim Pemoch, you know, we're not talking once or twice. Talking a whole year, or 9 months, or 24 months, or, you know, could be all of them in a row. You know, she's 11, then she's 12, she gets pregnant, then she's nursing. So Masham Shos B'moch for, you know, almost 4 years in a row is very hard to do all the time. It's not practical. And therefore, Shomer Psar Hashem, because it's too difficult for you to do it. The Kobashirim says, I think, a similar thing. It says, Ein Chai Va'odam, Rav Chanan here, Limanu Minig Derech Eretz, V'melam Ki'ilu Ein B'yadu Lishmer's Atzmo. He says, it's too hard. It's not expectation that you're being shamshus from all the time, that you have to change the normal way of the world. That's too difficult. That's too ambitious of an expectation. And therefore, Hashem takes care of you. To wear your seatbelt, so you can put on your seatbelt. What Hashem take care of you? If you don't wear your seatbelt, don't wear a seatbelt. It's your own fault. Because that's something that you can handle. But things that are too hard to handle, that what? You're going to take your car in to get your brakes checked every Sunday, every Sunday, and just to make sure? No, that's not practical, it's too hard. Therefore, Hashem will watch over that. So that's the first shot, one shot in. Meaning, clearly, it can't mean, I hope this is clear to all of us, that you can just do whatever dangerous thing you want and Shomer Psar Hashem. One shot is the Toras Chaim and Rav Elchanan in the Kovach Shiurim. He says, only davar she'i afshar lehishamer mimenu. Only if it's impossible or too difficult, then Hashem will take care of you because you don't have the achrayus yourself. That's one pshat. Okay, what's another pshat? Okay.
I thought that when he's talking about the Hashgacha itself, which we found problematic, by whether Hashem is Mashgiach or not, Rav Elchanan said Hashem is either case Mashgiach, but you don't have to take it into account.
Okay, I that's a good point, and it ties into things we discussed earlier this year in the sugya of Tzinim Pachin. I'm not going to get into the metaphysical aspect here, meaning the whole question of, does it mean God will do X, Y, and Z, or does it mean we can act without the achrayus of, you know, is it, do you view it from a practical perspective and or from the metaphysical perspective behind it? I'm not going to get into now. I'm going to stick to sort of the practical perspective.
What is your difficulty?
That's an excellent question, and the Toras Chaim says, meaning too difficult doesn't mean impossible, that's clear, right? The Toras Chaim says, oh, it's very difficult because you don't have enough money, etc. The Rav Elchanan seems to go further. Anything that would require you to, like, not be able to lead a normal life. Not to have the normal derech ha'olam, derech eretz, like being Mishan Shemok every time. So it seems to me that even something which you could do, but when you wouldn't be able to lead a normal life, that's considered too difficult. It's not a super high standard. Okay, that's one pshat. Aha, this is, I think, the most popular pshat in the Mefarshim, if I'm not mistaken. I put here from the Divrei Malkiel. He's the one who everyone quotes it, but the Tzemach Tzedek said the same thing, and the Yachi Ezer picks up on that, and many of the poskim pick up on this. I it's hard to count, but I would say the Divrei Malkiel and many Achronim say, look, everyone knows, I can't say, well, row that it'll be okay, so I can do it. No, even a miyot of Sakhanoi from the Mishmar from. But there's a miyot and there's a miyot. And when he says all these sugis that I mentioned, it wasn't a real Sakhana. That's not like driving without a seatbelt. Those are like Chashash Rachel. Really? If a woman's Mishami, I mean, the Haraya, you know, look at nowadays. Right? Okay, so we don't have 11-year-old, married women, but women are mishamish when they're pregnant, they're mishamish when they're nursing, and they manage just fine. And how many times? I'm sure you could find in the medical literature once that something is terrible happened if you go with nefesh, but Mistadrim yafeh. You know, we eat, you know, they eat the fruits. How many people die of the snake poison? How many people, again, when they do the resmila, I never check the statistics, on the windy day, and they do the, on the, lick the blood on the day when Mars is in the wrong angle. Like, these aren't real sakanas. These are shashrochok of sakanas. So in our sugya, Rabbi Meir Taki, even in the shashrochok says, you know, it's enough. Then you should use a moch, or you can use a moch. But really, it's a chash rochok of sakana, and you don't have to be choshesh for every chash rochok of sakana in the davar sof. After all, they say you can do, right? People go on boats. Sometimes boats sink. Ad hayom hazeh. They go on planes. Sometimes planes crash. You drive in cars. Sometimes cars crash. But statistically, it's not common enough to be called sakana. Everything you do, if you sit at home also, you know, you never know what can happen. That's they say, therefore it's a shash rochok, or a, you know, miot she'eno matzoi, right? It's a, what was the lashon? Is the Divrei Malkiel here? Miot she'eno matzoi. Shash rochok, miot she'eno matzoi. It's just quantitatively, I mean, it's very different. It has nothing to do with whether or not you could guard yourself. It just has to do with whether it's a real sakana or like a crazy sakana, like, you know, the Brisker Rav was worried about. But this is not a real sakana. It's not really dangerous. That's going to be very important. Halacha Maaseh we'll get to soon for a few reasons. Okay, some of the other pshatim, were interestingly, there's a line in the Trumas Hadeshen. Okay, the Gerusa here is technically a little tricky, but it's clear what he's trying to say. There's a line in the Trumas Hadeshen where he says he's discussing a different sakana of katlanis. A woman whose two husbands died, maybe it somehow to her mazel, and it's a kind of marry her again. There's a whole question of whether we seek Shemar Psalm Hashem. So, someone wrote, well, a lot of Tzimini Chachamim aren't choshish for this. The Truma Sadesh wrote back, as a, not a long Truma, but a paragraph. He said, Tzarech Ion, can you really say about a Talmud Chacham Shemar Psalm Hashem? Talmud Chacham's not a Pesi. He knows what's a kind and what isn't. And, what he seems to be saying fairly clearly, but I, the Shut Torah's Chesed, which was not on the Pari line, but someone else who quoted him was on the Pari line, who I have for the Mechum Ladovid or David Pardo, the one of the Gedolim from Turkey in the 19th century, some of us, know his descendant, he quotes that, Shomer Psalm Hashem, in the most literal sense, why is Hashem Shomer Psaim? Because they don't know how to be Shomer themselves. So what the Torah Chaim did, he said, don't know means not able. He's not going to know. It means you don't know. But he's saying that if you don't know that it's dangerous, then Hashem protects you because you're a Pesi. If you know that it's dangerous, then it's your own Achrayus. And basically what he makes no kent in all these are sugyas where the masses didn't know it was dangerous. That's also why, let's think for a second. What did the Gemara say in a few of these sugyas? How did this tie into the phrase Dashu Dei Rabim? Dashu literally means like to tread, right? It comes from Disha, which is threshing, but in threshing you stomp and you walk. So here it just means the Rabim already walked all over it. Not to do threshing anymore, it just means walk. Everyone does it. Why is it relevant that everyone does it, right? To anyone who grew up, right? We all had a mother and a, yeah, hopefully, had a mother and a father growing up, and the told us, lo pam, lo pamayin, it doesn't matter if everyone does it, right? That, you still have to listen to what we say, right? So what difference does it make that everyone does it? So for the Torah's Chayim, why is it relevant that everyone does it? Because if everyone does it, what does that prove igloi milsa? If everyone does it, it must be because it's too hard not, no, I'm going back to verse chat. It's too hard not to do it, right? This proves that it's too hard to avoid. That's the second shot. Second shot is great. What do you mean Dashu Barabin? Dashu Barabin doesn't mean everyone does it. Dashu Barabin means everyone does it and they don't die. One in a million dies. It means Dashu Barabin Vilo Ba'oli de sakana. That proves it's the chash rachok. Everyone does it and they don't die. So that proves the chash rachok. The third pshat is the pshat of the Trumas Hadeshen. I think it's pretty clear that's what he's trying to say, even though he says Bolshim Tzarech Ion, sorry, and the Torah's Chesed. They say what it means is davar she'ein ne'adam makirim sakanoso. People don't know that it's dangerous. They're literally psyched. The Gemara knows it's dangerous. The Gemara is not discussing, according to the Shuas Deshin Tarschetzis, the Gemara is not discussing what to tell me the Chachamim should do. The Gemara is discussing halacha for the masses. You think the masses knew everything the Chazal knew, even about just science and medicine? No, the masses were ignorant of science and medicine. Chazal were the intellectual elites. They also knew things about sakana. Right? So what are Chazal debating? Saying, we know about all these sakanas. But they don't know about these sakanas, so why melabel lahem et hamoach? Right? Just let them proceed in their blissful ignorance, and Hashem will protect them, because they don't know. And for them, what is Dasha Barabin? If everyone does it, what does that prove? If everyone does it, why does everyone do it? Not because it's too hard to avoid, why does everyone do it? Because they don't know. Proves that the masses don't know that it's dangerous. Basically, according to this, you can never paskin for yourself, Hashem or Psalm Hashem. Right? If you know that it's dangerous, then you're not a pesi. Then you have to guard yourself. You can only paskin Hashem or Psalm Hashem for the other people, for the masses. And that's what all these sages are doing. Chazal were saying, I'm not going to eat this. I'm not going to do the rishmila that day. But the masses, who don't know any better, instead of going out in a campaign, let's teach them all how dangerous it is and to avoid. If they don't know how dangerous it is and they're a seder, then Hashem will take care of them. Could be. No, even if they're, as long as they don't know, whatever you don't know, Hashem takes care of.
We say by Allah, if you don't know, don't teach them.
According to this shot, that's what it means. If they don't know, don't teach. By the way,
who doesn't know that that you're allowed to carry? There's no air.
No, we're talking about sakana here.
I'm saying that,
but you should know. This also comes up in Hilchos Shabbos, where I actually heard this debate recently in Hilchos Shabbos, but I can't tell you what the case is for a reason that will become clear in a moment. There are many shilas that come up in Hilchos Shabbos of we have some appliance this and that in our house, and people don't realize when they open the door and they do this and they do that, it actually makes something happen, you know, in the back someplace, etc., etc. So, is it usher if they don't know? That has nothing to do with this. It's merely like a outward look, merely a surface parallel. It's not the same looking principle, but a lot of posts can write that, well, if nobody knows what happens when you, I'm not going to say it because I don't want you to know, when you do X, Y, and Z on Shabbos, then don't tell them. If you don't tell them, then it's mutter because they're misasik. And okay, we discussed this last year a little. And maybe right, maybe wrong. But that's a debate in the postgame nowadays. And I've seen in modern day postgame say, people don't realize how the technology works. What happens when they do seemingly innocent things on Shabbos? As long as they don't know, it's mutter. And that's also sometimes you do have that. I'm not talking about before she saw it. But when it comes to sakana, and maybe when it comes to sort of sick gracious misasiks, there is something like that. But here we're only dealing with sakana. We're not dealing with yisur. We're dealing with sakana. It could be by sakana there's a special rule. By halacha, let's say someone doesn't know that you have to keep all lamed tesmalachas on Shabbos. They don't know about making brachos. Then you have to learn Torah. That's the rule, right? You have to teach someone Torah. By sakana, there's no chiyuv of Talmud sakana. You know, you don't have to learn sakana. If you know something's mesukan, you have to take a chrayas and Hashem says, magia lecha if you're not careful. But if you don't know, then there's a rule, Shomer Psalm Hashem. Why is there a rule? It says so in Tanakh. I don't need to justify it. It says so in Tanakh. That's good enough for me. And therefore, everyone was a pesi. And if you don't know, then it's okay. And that's exactly what the Shumas Adesha said. Even if other people can rely on Shomer Psalm Hashem, a Talmud Chacham who knows can't rely on Shomer Psalm Hashem. It becomes sort of funny. You can only say it about other people, not about yourself. But it's not so crazy, because what does pesi mean? Pesi means you don't know, right? Again, if this is a Breslin yeshiva, then the pesi would be is an ideal for a Talmud Chacham. But in the Litvish Mesorah, that a pesi is the opposite of a Talmud Chacham, and we should know things.
But how can you say that the case of a Talmud Chacham who built a Brit Milo Bismano because of a shash of Mars being in the wrong place, that he understands
the Ritva
that.
Said that in the brackets.
Yeah.
And exactly, that's the precisely meaning, according to him, and a Hanami, a Talmud Chacham, now you could say that nowadays it's different because we don't know exactly what they meant by Mars and which angle and etc. But in their days, a Talmud Chacham Taka, everyone else would do the Ris Mila, and the Talmud Chacham would be doka the Mila Bismano and say, I'm not worried about the mitzvah, say, Doraisa of Mila, because since I know I'm not a Pesi, and I have to be Shomer myself.
Even it's a Shash Rachuk.
The Truma Sedeshin doesn't necessarily say it's a Shash Rachuk, but could be, even a Shash Rachuk, yeah, could be even a Shash Rachuk. Oh, go to Yerushalayim, Yeshiva's Brisk, and you'll see the Rosh Yeshiva there are doka many things because of their Chomers in Sakana. Meaning it's not a crazy thing. The Reb Chaim, they say Reb Chaim was at a certain point infamous for how much he was Mechalel, this and that, and etc. Because he was worried about Achshash Rachuk of Sakana. I mean, we know some of the stories. Not so crazy.
So in some way, Rabbi Meir, who's Choshesh for Sakana, ends up taking over the Chachamim, who are the ones who say Shomer Psoi Hashem.
Could
go get flipped.
Could very well
in
be.
This whole setup that
could very well be. But keep in mind, even the original case of the Torah Chesed, there would be Docha something. A guy made a monetary hischaivos to marry a certain woman, and it was against the mazel psak of Sakana of the Chavas Yehuda Chassid, and he says that, nope, I'm want out of my obligation. Basically cooler, right? Because Sakana. And Sakana is the Pasha Docha everything. And what the Torah has to say, even if everyone else does it and it's okay for them, once he is thinking about it and it's significant to him and he knows about it, then he's not a Pesi, then he has to break his word and be closer to Sakana. That's also being Docha and Avera, right? The Avera of reneging on your word and commitment. Okay. There are some other Pshatim also. The Binyan Sion has an interesting Pshat, which is very tricky and ties into a lot of other things. Also, you might remind some of us that the new Yehuda about autopsies. Said the Binyan Tzion, he says, well, this is Achshash Ra, it is a mir of Sakana. But that's not enough. He says, even a mir of Sakana we have to be Nizar from. And everyone else does it. It doesn't matter. Even if everyone does it, even if it's a mir of Sakana we have to be Nizar from it, what's the important point for him?
Present versus future.
Exactly, present versus future. Now, he doesn't say you can take a large chance on future Sakana. I can get into a 20% chance of future Sakana. No, that's ridiculous. He doesn't say I can take a small chance of present Sakana. No, what he says is that it's okay if it's a small chance and the Sakana is only in the future, then that's not considered a Sakana. And that's how he explains why we do a lot of things. Why do we go on boats? Because right now there's not a storm. And therefore, oh, there's a chance there'll be a storm, but since right now there's not a storm, then that's okay. So that's the big thing. Sion says it's not. It's just a miyot sakana, miyot sakana, or you know, a. Let's see. What's if he says it more mellifluously? He says
b'shata
in kampi goth nefesh. And not only that, he says. Ruba lo masabros. Okay, miuta, even though normally chosh for miut of sakana. Okay, lo chashinan le miuta de sakana im hasakana eina bifaneinu. Right? If it's not in front of us yet, if it's just a future, he's machalting a future sakana and a present sakana. A present sakana, if the guy's sick, then you'd say, ah, the guy's sick, even though he probably won't die, Rav Michal Shabbos. But if the guy might get sick, then we say, ah, he might get sick, but he probably won't. And that's not considered sakana in halacha. That's a big chiddush, that he makes that seemingly technical distinction. But that's what he says. How does he explain the language of Doshu Bei Rabim? I mean, he's coming from our sugya. And our sugya doesn't have the language of Doshu Bei Rabim. He brings a nice raya, by the way, from the Mishnah Brachos, right? What does it say? Even if a snake is on your, is at your feet, or wrapped around your leg, you shouldn't interrupt Shon Esrei. Ma pitom. So most of the farshas say, ah, it means an identifiably non-poisonous snake. Okay, if you see it's not a poisonous snake, Beseder. Says, no. I mean, this is a big chiddush. I don't think we possibly like him. Right, what does he say? He says it's most of the time snakes don't bite, even though we all think a snake is dangerous. I mean, it's a big chiddush. Most of the time snakes don't bite, and it hasn't bitten you yet. That's a big chiddush, meaning I don't know any posik nowadays who would paskin like that. That, you know, if a snake, which is a chashash of poisonous snake, you know, is wrapped around your legs, like the pshat of the Mishnah in Brachos, that you should continue to run esrei. I don't think anyone would paskin that way. From any side of any spectrum. But that's how far he goes.
What he's saying, Sean, is that if someone would stand absolutely still, he's right, it wouldn't happen.
But that's not what he says. I mean, that's the difference where you say, if I stand still, the snake will leave me alone, and if I run away, it's sakana. That's not his svara. Maybe that's shot in the Mishnah, I don't know. But that's not his svara. What does he say about Dasha Baraben? He doesn't say exactly, but maybe it proves that usually it's not dangerous, right? But the difference is that for the Divrei Malkiel, it's like 0.01%. For him, no, it's a miyot. It might be a miyot amotsoy, but since it's a miyot amotsoy and it's not here yet, that doesn't count as sakana. And you see his logic, like in the Dover Sofa might happen in the future. Right, and this reminds us of the famous Pachin of the Yehud by autopsies, right? He says, why isn't every autopsy you could learn about the disease, etc., because nefesh and mutter, which in the days when they started doing that, apparently this is still a big issue. Someone told me in England nowadays, it's one of the biggest issues in the firm community. They have the same fight. So he says, the note of Yehud has said, and I'm sure that was what the Ben Yitzchak had in mind, no, of course you might end up saving someone's life by doing autopsies. Obviously, he's talking about people who die from diseases, not talking about criminal autopsies. But right now there's no one sick who you're trying to cure. There's no cholim panenu. If right now there's someone sick who you're trying to cure and you'd say, there's a 1% chance it might help if I do an autopsy on this other guy who had a disease and died, we'd say for sure mutter. But just in the future someone might be sick, that doesn't count as sakana. And sakana has to be in front of us.
I mean, do an autopsy now, I mean, whatever you learn from the past is going to be in the long run anyway.
Okay, so but that's right. It's a good point, but that's exactly what the Novi Huda disagreed with. Right. It's exactly what he disagreed with. Okay, then you're in modern times when people see how science works, some people try to like fit it in, try to modify the Novi Huda, retract the Novi Huda a little, but the Novi Huda said what he said. You know, even if that doesn't match the way that modern science works, he would say, okay, that doesn't mean the way modern science works is always mutter. You know, he might say, I know I don't match the way the scientists think that we may have progress. So, they find a different way to have progress. Not every way to have progress is necessarily mutter. I think that's what he's saying. And you see the logic to it, because, you know, in the Dover Sofa, the student can go to medical school on Shabbos because, you know, someday someone will be sick and will save him, etc. No, if the future sakana is serious, 25% chance someone might die tomorrow. Okay, that's already a different story. But the future sakana is maybe. And it's not here yet. That's not sakana according to the Ben Yitzchak. And we'll see how that is important for Halacha L'Maisa soon. I also mentioned a few igros.
I heard in the board in Chicago that supposedly Rav Moshe's father was davening and there was a snake eating him. Used that as a homeless issue.
Okay.
I don't know.
But I don't know if it was a poisonous or non-poisonous thing.
Well, we don't know. We don't
right?
Know.
All I know is that it was, you know, it was Rav Soloveitchik's father, right? And it was a snake that might once have been similar to being related to being near a poisonous snake. He would have taken care of it.
Isn't the B'nai Tzion's Svara pretty similar to the Chaim in the same so about the Shiurim and Yom Kippur when the Sakana is imminent and not imminent? He makes a distinction.
Yes, it actually taka is, right? Meaning Rav Chaim's shita that if someone might have sakana in the future, then there's shirim, there's limits, etc. If someone's already the sakana, then heter gomer. So you're right, that is a similar note to Yehuda, similar to Rav Chaim. This is not a crazy distinction, meaning he's the only one who puts it into our sugya. But it's not a crazy distinction. Rav Moshe has, it's interesting, in his birth control tshuvas and his smoking tshuvas, he takes different angles. He's almost, I mean, you have to work on all the dapim, but at least in almost, except for maybe one reference, he may be talking about different sugyas. Maybe he thinks not all Shomer Psar Hashems are the same. Certainly when it comes to our sugya, the birth control sugya, he is a big chiddush. How does he explain the Shomer Psar Hashem in our sugya? How does he explain the Shomer Psar Hashem in our sugya? That's in the one of birth control, some Samach Gimel and Evan Eser. What does he say? He has a big fetish. You have to figure out exactly. I don't know, I'll ask you your opinion if this explains all the things or not.
Hashem wouldn't tell you to do things that are going to get you in trouble.
He says, basically, if Hashem tells us, what does Hashem tell us? Hashem tells us to get married, right? Share exclusive on Nasa lo Yigra, Puravu. Hashem is telling us to engage in marital relations. He didn't say sometimes yes, sometimes no. Meaning, he did that other areas of halacha, but not in these. He didn't say, well, if you're pregnant, no, and nursing, no, and prepubescent, no, and what?
It's even more than that. He's saying any pregnancy is dangerous.
Well, that's what he says at the end, correct. So basically what he says is, if Hashem told us to engage in these marital relations, then he's promising us it's not dangerous. And he says not only that, let's come back to the second. Moshe seems to be saying, and here it's a little, he seems to have a different shot in our sugya. It could be that Nirlami is daiti, except, okay. I'll come back to this. Let me first say that you're Rav Moshe's then. Says Rav Moshe, the Igris Moshe, in Eben HaEzer, right? Chelik Eben HaEzer, about our sugya. He says, what does it mean? It means that it's actually not dangerous. That's a Shomer Psar Mashem. It's not dangerous. Shomer Psar Mashem means that you think it's dangerous, but it's really not. Right? What does he say? He says that it's a specific havtacha. In this case, that it's not dangerous. Hold on a second. It's not dangerous? It's one thing to say it's a low level of danger, it's a mia. What do you mean it's not dangerous? Then what were they talking about if it's not dangerous? So he says, how could it not be dangerous if they saw that sometimes people died? So here's the chap. If anyone died, it's not because it was dangerous, it's because
it's
because of an onish min hashamayim. Al shalosh averus nashim meisos b'shas leidasan. Expanded a little to the whole inyan of leida and ibur and etc. If anyone does die, it's an onish min hashamayim, not because of the danger. It just looks dangerous, but it's really not dangerous. It's really just coincidental. What gives us the right to say that? I mean, so I can go, you know, I can play with loaded firearms and say, I know it looks very dangerous, but it's really coincidental. Whoever died playing with guns and juggling hand grenades is really because of their averus that they did, you know, last week. No, of course I can't say that, because it never says anything in the Torah that implies that it's not dangerous. But over here, Hashem's mitzavos of these things, on derech eretz, derech olam, and therefore it's avtocha that it's not dangerous, and anyone who dies is coincidence. What kind of coincidence? Coincidence of an onesh. That person didn't die because it was dangerous. It really wasn't dangerous. That person only died coincidentally because of an onesh min hashamayim. And then he adds at the end, and not only, then what does he add at the end? It's not just that Hashem was mitzaveh us on marital relations, and therefore, and he didn't make any exceptions, and he didn't give us any hint as to the exceptions, therefore that proves that it's not dangerous. It's that puravu, pregnancy, the whole idea of having babies is always dangerous, and yet Hashem told us to do it. What does that prove? That proves that it's not really dangerous. Why do people die? In those days, a lot of women died in childbirth. Mishnah and Shabbos, al shalosh na averus nashim eis b'shasli dasan. Now, okay, you have to maybe not. Let's not ask how that fits with the Gemara in that Mishnah. But that's a special onesh, but it's not really dangerous. Now, this is a tremendous chiddush. That it's not really dangerous. It's not really dangerous. It's just mistakenly was thought to be dangerous. But really, it's not dangerous, and whoever dies, died coincidentally. That's a big chiddush.
So when he said it, but what if a woman who had blood pressure problems?
That's exactly what he does say. Not what he would, but he does. The whole point of that tshuva is, and therefore, this only applies to a regular woman. But a woman with a health problem, Hashem never said a health problem wasn't dangerous. He just said a regular. If a woman has a health problem, then of course that's dangerous, and we wouldn't say Shomer Psoim Hashem. That's a disease. You know, even if she's only would be sick, she's not pregnant. Everyone knows if you have a disease, you can't do things that would aggravate the disease.
Don't we look at life as too masculine? There is a masculine bidna good to be, and it's not good to be with Tzon Hashem.
That's what I thought until this Rav Moshe. I also thought that. You're right. That's why this Rav Moshe is very mechudish to me. And that's what I was hinting at when I said, don't look at the Gemara that Mishnah Shabbos. Because the Gemara there basically says, it's not something special on Leita. Everything is too masculine, and etc. So, this Rav Moshe is a big chiddush. What Aaron's saying is, usually, of course we believe in Ashgacha. But we say, no, you have to be Nishmar B'derech HaTeva. And then there's also Ashgacha. But it's not like something only Ashgacha and not in the Teva. When there's a danger in Teva, then the Ashgacha comes to play. It's a real danger in Teva. Rav Moshe saying, well, whatever's Ashgacha is taka, not dangerous. You're right. It's a big chiddush, this Rav Moshe. But he said it. I think he said it. It's a big kiddush.
It's not any more dangerous than regular pregnancy. But it's not it's not a clown.
Right, but he...
And regular pregnancy is okay.
Yeah. Okay. So basically Hashem will... You know, maybe what he's saying is a little different. If Hashem's mitzvah you something, then if you don't deserve an onesh, even if it is dangerous, he'll take away the danger. So maybe there's like a sort of like shluchi mitzvah in the mizokin kind of thing. Maybe he admits it's dangerous, but Hashem takes away the danger unless you deserve an onesh. Maybe that's a little better, okay? So let's a specific, I'm talking in this case, that... Hashem protects you from the danger. Right? But Hashem protects you from the danger. Oh, why do people die if there's Avtacha? They die because of an Onesh. Right? And whoever dies is because of an Onesh. Okay, maybe that's a little better. That's what Rav Moshe says here, although interestingly, he seems to say something different a little later. And we'll see the Nafka Mina comes in soon. And he doesn't deal with Dashabei Rabim here either. And I don't know if he has to, because he's only talking about Arsuga. Arsuga doesn't say Dashabei Rabim. Does Arsuga say Dashabei Rabim? Right? Chum Omrim? No. It's interesting, in the Sugi of Dashabei Rabim, when he gets the cigarette Pshatim, he seems to say something different. It may be thought that Arsuga and the Dashabei Rabim Sugi are different. That would work fine in, although I'm a little misupik because in the tshuva, in the first tshuva about cigarettes, the earlier tshuva, he only quotes other sugyas, not ours. In the second tshuva about cigarettes, he seems to quote ours. Sugya also, so I'm not sure exactly what to do with it. Maybe he has different opinions. But Rav Moshe says in Chelek Yoredei and Choshen Mishpat, maybe we should open the window, it's a little warm in here. What he says in Chelek Yoredei and Choshen Mishpat, if I understood correctly, is a little different. The Igros Moshe Yoredei and Choshen Mishpat, when he's not talking about birth control, but he's talking about... He's not talking about birth control, but rather he's talking about smoking. How does he interpret Shomer Psoim Hashem in those in the smoking tshuvas? So in the first smoking tshuva, he doesn't say very much. He just says, "Well, Dashu Bei Rabin." But in the second smoking tshuva, he expands a little more and he says, "What do you mean Dashu Bei Rabin?" He says, "Like my parents, even if a lot of people do it wrong, that doesn't make it okay, right?" Right, it says, even if blows Hebrew in, you still can't get into Takana. So what does he say, Pshat in Dasha Bei Rabin? So he says again, similar to some of the other Mepharshim. He says, let me read it, Nira Poshet, B'davardika Harbi D'lokosh L'biyusam Klum. A lot of people, it's only a miyot. A lot of people doesn't hurt. Gon Harbi Mine Uchlin, She'in, She'nen, Mehem B'yoser, Kibis Rasham, D'vorm Charif B'yoser, Rakosh L'biyusam Kalkama Inchi. He says two things. He says, most people, it's not sakana. Okay, but you're not even supposed to get into a meal of sakana. And he says it's something which people are nene from a lot. And they feel that, you know, is an important hanah to them. He says, when people smoke, they get a lot of it out. People eat certain foods. And he makes an interesting deal. The Rambam, Hilchos Deos, says, you should be careful about you eat this and that. And he doesn't say it's usur to not, like all of us are dieting, right? They all eat hakas nowadays. Should I eat French fries, this, that? The Rambam doesn't say it's usur, it's an issur, or rice eating French fries. He just says, you shouldn't eat French fries, you should be healthy, you should want to live long, and be able to be open to Hashem. Why isn't it usur? Says that's his chiddush. Why in the Rambam, Hilchos Deos, he tells you all the dietary advice. And he doesn't say it's usher to not follow it. He just says it's proper to follow it, to be a good Omid Hashem. Why isn't it usher to eat French fries? Why isn't it usher to, you know, all the other things they tell us nowadays that we don't listen to? So he says, you know what? If it's something which a person has a real physical hana'ah from, and it's only a mir of sakana, that's the getter of Shomer Psalm Hashem. That's the getter of Shomer Psalm Hashem. And that's, I think that's how he reads, how about the Novim Te'inim Balayla, etc. How can you eat the fruits, right? Yeah, because that's our physical hana, that we like to eat things. And that we don't have to refrain from because of Shomer Psalm Hashem and me. That's also he sees in the Tashrish Amita on the 90th day, etc. So a person shouldn't have to refrain from that. So he said something which is more necessary, not necessary like you need it, but like something which is normal, which is... what's his lashon? Let me just read you Dover de'ika harbish lokosh lubiyosan. There are many people who it's not difficult. Come on, venshinanim hembiyosan. And people really get a lot of hanah from them. Lokosh lubiyosan is a comment. It's bad for the health of some people. Lekam zeh isur milochum shemshash sakana. There's no isur sakana. Right? So if it's a miyot that people are nenefron, that people have a need for. So again, it's similar to some of these other pshatim. He says.
When did he write this?
So that's interestingly. The first one.
Everyone who smokes, I see damage in.
The first one was Tafshin Chaf Dalid, Chanukah. Chanukah Tafshin Chaf Dalid is, right? I don't know. I'm not one of these, mathematicians who knows whether it's, you know, December 63 or January 64, right? Well, that was what was coming out then. In 64 was the famous Surgeon General. So this is the era of the Surgeon General report. But his second tshuva was Tafshin Mem Aleph was 81. Spring of 81 was a long time after the Surgeon General report. But even in the spring of 81, it's okay. Some of you remember the spring of 81 a little better than I do. I certainly, I was not. I remember, I think in 81, F sure, maybe the Phillies won the World Series or something, I don't remember. But, what won in 81? Alright. But, still, I wasn't holding in all the scientific debates of the times yet. But even in 81, like, it hadn't really penetrated to the consciousness of most people. You know, everyone was still smoking. You know, they didn't take this seriously yet.
Cigarette companies have been paying millions of dollars for these pseudoscientists.
Correct, and the cigarette, it was still an all-out, it's not like nowadays. Nowadays, the all-out war of the cigarette companies is to write all over the place that it kills you. That way, when you sue them, they'll say, we wrote that it kills you, but your time is on us. In those days, that's their tactic nowadays, right? They want the biggest letters possible, that this will kill you next Wednesday. Because that way, you can't sue them, they'll say. What are you, were warned. But in those days, the cigarette companies were still full court press to discredit, right? They had these seminars, and they would teach you to question the Surgeon General, and movies against the Surgeon General, and a lot of people still thought that, and what does Rav Moshe write in this tshuva, actually? He says, And apparently he's from a doctor, right? He says, and hardly anyone gets sick with the chance of getting sick from smoking are very small. The chance of getting lung cancer, chas shalom, and dying is very small. You think it's a lot because you're a doctor, so you only see the sick people. But all these people, there's so many people smoking in the street, you don't go to the hospital and you don't see. So I don't trust your statistics. It's a valid point, as far as it goes. But Rav Moshe says that if it's a miyot of sakana, Mi'uta de sakana, and ubnei adam nehenin mizeh. Right? It's interesting. This is classic Rav Moshe. He was a very practical, down to earth posek, and understood where people come from. No, something that people really enjoy, like the french fries, the smoking, etc. You can't assert that unless it's really an in your face absolute sakana. of course, at the end, what he said is, and of course, that's my psak halacha binding on everyone, but for Ben Torah, you shouldn't be chasing after another in the first place, right? You know, ideally, you shouldn't be chasing after Hanoz regardless. What are you, to waste money and time on Hanoz that you don't need? That's not the Derech HaMoser. But nonetheless, in terms of how he understood, this is classic for Moshe. In terms of how he knew what the deal was, in terms of how he understood the halacha that was binding on every Jew of Klal Yisrael, say, it can't be that things that we enjoy a lot, that things that, you know, a lot of people want and a lot of people feel a strong desire for, are usher, unless it's a very serious sakana. And I think that's what he would take Dashu Bei Rabim here as, what is Dashu Bei Rabim? Probably proves two things. Dashu Bei Rabim might be two things. Might be, A, if it's Dashu Bei Rabim that shows that people really want it, right? It wouldn't be Dashu Bei Rabim, right, if people didn't really want it. And B, right, most people don't become endangered, right? Most people don't die. Okay, right? That's Dashu Bei Rabim. These are all different shots in Dashu Bei Rabim. Now, again, in Rav Moshe, he never connects his Eben Ezer tshuva, meaning he has a tshuva birth control. And about Shom Shom Hashem, and a tshuva, I mean one very short, one longer tshuva, about smoking Shom Shom Hashem. He never really connects them. I don't know if maybe he meant there are two different kinds of Shom Shom Hashem, or if he changed his mind about Shom Shom Hashem, meaning there's a big time lag, right? The tshuva about birth control was 1935 in, he writes right here. What does he say right here? Luban! Before he came to America, in Russia. Either he changed his mind between 5 and 6, or maybe he really thought there were two different sugyas of Shom Shom Hashem, the like marital relations sugya by us, birth control sugya is one sugya, and that's why it's Machlok Chacham or Meir, and they don't say Dashu Bei Rabim, and the other sugya, which is not a Machlok Chacham, says Dashu Bei Rabim, so I'm a suffolk. Whether he thought there were two different sugyas about two different kinds of Shom Shom Hashem, and then it makes sense, there's a machlok sanarim by us and not by the other ones. Or whether you just changed his mind from 1935 to 64. He didn't write very much from 1935 to 1981 is a long time. What are the nafkaminas between these different shatim? Number one was already mentioned by, I forgot who mentioned it, but the obvious nafkamina of, you know, can you be push off the bris milah if you do decide to be worried? Right? Can you push off the bris milah if you are worried? Here the Ritva says, that in the brackets they're in, this Ritva was in Yevamos. The Ritva says, did you print out the brackets? You have both Ritvas, Shabbos and Yevamos?
Yeah.
Okay, thank you. Okay, short and sweet. The second one is Shomer Psarim Hashem. Ulofom Aitaim Amand Lo Boy Lemim Ol Biyom De'eva Roshos Biyodo V'Shaper Ovid Shalismar Shomer Psarim Hashem. V'din Shei Rai Shalom V'Sham Shei Yom Unah. What does he say? He says, someone who wants to be choshed is going to push off of Bris Milah. He don't push off of Bris Milah. It's a big mitzvah say, right? It's not so posh luckily. Shabbat, it's good that he does that. I mean, it's not only acceptable, it's perhaps better. And on Shabbos, he would think maybe we should always be choshed to sakana. Meaning, is it really not a sakana? Or, you know, you could be choshed for it. You know, it's better to be choshed for it, but it's okay if you're not choshed for it. So, here, I think it's an afkamina. It's not so clear how everyone would go, but it's an interesting question, right? Is it okay, or even better, to push off a bris milah on a cloudy day, right? Etc. Right, the cloudy day and the windy day, and maybe in the astrology, etc. So It, most people don't relate to this. It's a machlokes, I guess a little bit Rishonim, Achronim. The Ritva says, for the Ritva says, yes, it's better to push it off. How does that work out? Nirlami is daiti that, first let's fill this in. The Divrei Malkiel himself says, no. Why? Achshash Rochel is not sakana. If it's not sakana, how can you push off reverse mila? If it's not sakana, how can you push off reverse mila? That seems, pretty clear. I think the Binyan Tzion is saying the same thing. Lachori would also agree with no. But the Yamshel Shlomo also agrees with no. The Divrei Malkiel and the Yamshel Shlomo both say you can't push it off. Why? Because if it's really not, it's objectively not a sakana, then it shouldn't be a problem. However, if it's a matter of that is a sakana, but, you know, you could be a pessy, then clearly, I think, if you took it as it has to do with what you know, then the Ritva would be absolutely right. Right? The Ritva would say that, of course, yes. What do you mean? If you want, if you're a pessy and you're, you don't think about things and you don't know what you're doing, it's going to protect you. But it's better to not be a pessy. Nirlani's idea, I think the Torah's Chaim would also agree. And the Ritva sounds a little more like Torah's Chaim. He said, they doch kamishas. So, you know, I'll even put him, Remez, he seems to be like the Torah's Chaim because it says, mitnei dochan, like it's, you know, too hard to keep, it's too hard. Maybe if you say, oh, I should protect you because it's too hard to protect yourself. But if I want to protect myself, that's even better. If you say it's just not a sakana in the first place, then don't be choshed when it's not a sakana in the first place. If you say it's to protect you because you're stupid, better not to be stupid. If you say it's not called a sakana, then it's not called sakana. And that's sort of the dividing line here. If it's just not strong enough to be a sakana, then don't push off a bris mila if it's not a real sakana. If it is strong enough to be a sakana, just you're a disabled and you can't properly take care of yourself either because of your needs or because of your ignorance, then it's better to not be disabled. It's better to take care of yourself. Basically, the question is, is it really not a sakana? Or it really is a sakana, but Hashem will protect you because you're a nebuch. And that seems to be the machlokas here, right? Basically what we're saying is that maybe it's really not called a sakana. That's the Binyan Tzion, that's the Divrei Malkiel and others, as opposed to it really is a sakana, but you are, you know, you're a nebuch. How do you spell a nebuch? It's a good question. It really is a sakana, but but you're a pessy. Right? If it's really sakana, you're a pessy. Either you're a pessy because you don't know what's going on, or you're a pessy because you do know what's going on, but it's too hard to implement that, then it's better not to be a pessy. If it's really not a pessy, it's really just about not being sakana. Shomer P'sam Hashem means Hashem protects us from things that aren't really sakana. Then if it's not really sakana, since when should we change halacha based on it's not really sakana? Rav Moshe here, I'm a little misophic, exactly where he would go. Nearly, because on the one hand you say, oh, it's like it's not such a strong chashash, so maybe it's not really sakana. On the other hand, he says, it has to do with the fact that people want it so much. Like, you know, Hashem has to give you some free rein, you know, or Moshe, again, his ashkaf was always very normal in this sense. Balabatish in this sense. Hashem has to let you live and enjoy yourself. But probably better, as he points out, to know. Better to not worry about enjoying myself. We're put in this world to enjoy ourselves. You know, maybe I'll be halacha, you can, but I'll be Moser. We're put in this world to be Ovid Hashem, and it's the best way of being Ovid Hashem is not to. So Nirlani is daiti.
But the bris mila is not an
enna. Correct, that's a tricky one. Okay, so I'm going to have to leave Rav Moshe. I will leave him out of this one. Okay, but here is an interesting nafkamina, achlutzim, the Ritva, the Yamshel Shlomo, the Divrei Malkiel comes out clearly, l'shitase. The other machlokus, which is of course the bigger one, is smoking. What about smoking? Right? Dasha be'rabin. Now, it's a little tricky nowadays.
Right.
I don't know if it's still Dasha be'rabin. In our circles, I don't know if we all, you know, travel in exactly the same circles. You know, I don't know how it works in terms of where the smoking starts and stops. I would say in my circle, certainly, smoking is not Doshu Rabbim at all. Smoking is really unheard of in my circles. You know, in YU circles, smoking is almost unheard of. And if someone does smoke, it's like a little bit, you know, off the, you know, it's smoking is already like a step towards off the derech. And where I grew up in YU circles, and in the Tilumi circles where I live, smoking is unheard of. I don't know if I ever saw anyone smoke in my whole town. Whoever saw anyone smoking? Obviously in other parts of the from community in Eretz Yisrael. You know, I'm not so familiar with what they do in the non-from community in Eretz Yisrael, but in other parts of from community. Different places, different things, certainly by the Hasidim, etc. Smoking is very makom, and might still be Dashu Bei Ramen. Undoubtedly, in 1981, smoking was Dashu Bei Ramen. That was no question about that. In 1981, you were already a, like, you know, health freak. If you were against smoking, you're one of those people who like listens to everything they say is unhealthy. You know, you're not a normal person. Like, you know, it was, you know, again, maybe someone remembers better than I do. But back in 1981, you know, it was normal to smoke. I think it was Dashu Bei Ravim. So does that make a difference? What is Dashu Bei Ravim? How does Dashu Bei Ravim interact with, interact with smoking? So is this a heter for smoking? So. The assuming Dashu Bei Ravim. You know, and even nowadays in some places Dashu Bei Ravim. So what would you say about this? Nireh, that if you took the Derech of Rabbi Elchanan, I think you might have the Psak, which I've seen in the name of some poskim, although it's listed on mine right now. Some people say it's usher to start smoking, but if you're addicted, then it's not usher to continue smoking. That might flow very well from Rabbi Elchanan's perspective. Right? Does he say that here? Maybe I just didn't bring the right parts. No, he says, Vade min haro'oi l'cholish, not to start smoking. He didn't say it's Isra d'oraisa. I think there's it's Isra d'oraisa to start smoking. Why? Because you cannot start smoking. Who told you to start smoking? If you're already addicted, then you can stop. But it's very hard to stop. And that might be, it's harder to stop smoking than any of the things mentioned in sugyas, than eating grapes and figs at night, or one that were like the stem was taken off, and these other things. It's really hard to stop smoking. You know, harder than, you know, refraining from tashmish for tishim yom. It's very hard to stop smoking. Harder than, so I think in this case, the psak you might come out with is usur, not just right. Moshe says roughly. He says it's not the derech of the Torah and proper over the Hashem. He didn't say usur, but if you're already addicted, then it's mutter. That would make sense, meaning if you can't help yourself, then for you, shomer psalm Hashem. Hashem will guard you because it's too hard for you to help yourself. But to start out, what do you mean? That's your own fault.
When the Surgeon General's report came out, the only proof was statistic. It's only years later they actually have the science to show that it does cause the carcinogenic.
That's interesting. Meaning they didn't know the causal relationship yet. They just saw the statistics. Okay, that's also interesting because statistics can be, you know, statistics without a causal relationship are not as clear. Okay, hold that thought for a second. If you talk about a chash rochok mir she'eno matzoi, then not so poshut. L'chora, it should be usher. It's not a miyot she'eno matzoi. It's not, you know, l'chora, it should be usur. If you talked about something that people don't know about, right, then you would say, once everyone knows, then it would become usur if you took the approach to Rosh Hashanah. Meaning, as all the gedolim smoked, how could they have smoked if it was usur? It wasn't usher when they smoked, because they didn't know any better, and then it was mutter. But it's usher for us to smoke, because we know better. Okay, the fact that the Surgeon General was not alive when, you know, the Gedolim of Europe smoked, what they were doing was the heter. Because it depends if you know or not. But now that everyone knows, again, the Surgeon General, okay, but don't know if in 1964, but certainly by later times, by the 90s, etc., everyone knew when it was Osir. What if you took the Binyan Sion's approach? Then maybe it would be Mutter. Why? Because you weren't going to die now. Something could develop later, and most people will not die. I'll put the baby in for a reason. And most people will not die. So after you come out with a heter. And likewise, if you took Rav Moshe's approach, then Rav Moshe says mutter. Why? Because it's still a miut, right? Maybe it's not a miuta sheba miuta, but it's still a miut, and it's a miut. So if you want to know, like, what's the how do you people matter smoking? So based on the Torah's Chaim, you can matter someone who's already addicted, b'di'evit. Based on the Truma Sadesh Torah's Chaim, you can matter in the previous generations, but not in our generations. You could say, based on the Binyan Sion, since no one's going to die today from smoking. It's going to be in 20 years. And based on Rav Moshe, that it's something which most people don't die, and it's something to feel a nem el lot from. I mean, I personally am not, but you know, go back to the 80s, everyone was. Everyone smoked in those days, so maybe you can come up with a heter. However,
he said you could stand, walk into a nuclear reactor because you're not going to die until 20 years from now?
No, because that's a rove sakana, but here it's a miyot sakana. So, the Tzitz Eliezer is not 100% clear exactly what he means. But the Tzitz Eliezer is famous for being one of the pioneers ushering smoking. I should have put the date here. I should have just put at the beginning what the date was. This was Tufshin Mem Bet, 81, 82. Let's call it 1982. The Tzitz Eliezer on the cover sheet. He ushered smoking. And what he said was that, no, Dushabe Rabin means if no one dies. It sounds a little like he's saying, it sounds a little like what, I'm not sure exactly what he's saying. Clearly, this would, remember, most people, the Tzitz Eliezer would clearly be Mochrach, according to Dibur Al-Kiel and most poskim. The Hatter of Shomer Psalm Hashem was only for a Shash Rochok, a Miyuta to Miyuta, one in a thousand, one in a million. Smokey's not one in a thousand, one in a million. But he says, what does Dushmi Rab mean? It doesn't mean everyone does it. It means everyone does it and no one dies. One in a million, you know, statistically, it's not a significant amount of percentage of people who die. Meaning, Dosh Be'erman says, you think it might be a little sakana, this and that, but it's not really sakana. Over here, it says, really sakana, look at the Surgeon General's report. But the modern day poskim say, that even they think by now, even Rav Moshe would change his mind. Because by now, not only is it not a mi'uta to mi'uta, maybe this is what means, it's not even much of a mi'uta, like the odds of dying from smoking are probably higher than almost anything else you can think of. Vaharaya, someone proved to me how dangerous smoking is without any science, just with economics. You ever apply for life insurance? Right? Or in some places, health insurance, where it's legal. The only question they ask you right off the bat? Smoker, non-smoker. This is our smoker rates or non-smoker rates. Right? This is business. This is math. Meaning, no one has any incentive to push a scientific and health agenda. They're just trying to work out the odds. And clearly, nothing else you could do puts you in the smoker rate. And the odds are, really, tens of percentages of chance of mortality. From smoking that they've discovered nowadays. You know, I think much more so than the Surgeon General's report in 1964, they proved by now.
Skydiving,
what?
Skydiving and motorcycle riding.
That's true. I mean, skydiving, most people don't do any. Motorcycle riding is something like, if it was up to me, I would go tell every Ben Torah, don't smoke and don't ride motorcycles. Motorcycles are bad news. I agree 100%. The people in the big hospitals even call them donor cycles here, right? Because after you get all your, right? If a guy's 100 years old and dies in the hospital, you don't transplant his organs. That's where they get all the transplants come from motorcycles. Because the guy's always in his 20s and healthy. And just the motorcycle is a lot smaller than the other things on the road if it chas v'shalom crashes into them. Okay, great. No, so nirlan is daiti that.
Especially when they weave in and out of traffic.
Yes. Vizman hazeh nir'eh de asur lekuli alma she'eino miyot ela, you know, chash gadol. Right? Again, I don't necessarily think it's 51%. But it's not small at all. It's not like Rav Moshe said that, if you look at everyone who smokes, you'll see that most of them don't die today. But you look at everyone who smokes and you follow it, and not most of them, close enough, really do have experienced mortality. So therefore, that's connected to their smoking. Obviously, it's subtract for whoever would have gotten this anyway. Lung cancer, no one would get anyway without smoking. Doctors never diagnosed lung cancer before they started smoking cigarettes. But other things, okay, so you have to how many heart attacks, subtract that other people get heart attacks, it's still a lot. It's still a lot. So nearly is dyke, that's why I think nowadays a lot of post-skim asr cigarettes. If you did want to matter cigarettes.
Is that what has to start or even to quit?
If you want to, okay, so if you do want to be matter cigarettes, I'll just add a psak that is a kula that I don't want on the internet. Whoever's listening on the internet, skip the next 2 minutes.
At least put out your cigarette while you're listening.
Right, if you do want to find a kula, you know, kulas, one kula would be, if someone's already addicted, maybe it would be mutter because it's too hard, and Hashem, b'dyeved, Hashem will be shomer someone once they're already, they had a bad education and they never were brought up properly and they got addicted to smoking. Two is, if you take the approach of Moshe, maybe I'll keep it in Sion, you could say, well, maybe it's still a miyot, you know, if you want a taina, it's less than 50%, but it's going to be a hard taina. Three, there is Rav Shlomo Zalman that I put in the brackets here, who has a kula to defend smoking, which is I don't want to spread it. I'm sure he also didn't want to spread it, but it's a limud zchus on those who smoke even nowadays. Rav Shlomo Zalman taina is that it could be that all the things, that smoking has nothing to do with any of these sugyas. Everything in this sugya is sakana because if you do it once, it might be dangerous. Right? The tashmish once might be dangerous if it makes the uber sandal and makes her pregnant and she dies, chas v'shalom. The tashmish on the 90th day might be dangerous because of the fetus. The bris on the wrong day might be dangerous because the baby, chas v'shalom, died from the bris. The bloodletting when Mars is up is dangerous because a person could bleed too much and die. Eating the grapes and the figs might be dangerous because there's snake poison and you'll die. But all the gemaras that think they're dangerous if you do them once. Cigarette smoking, everyone agrees is not dangerous if you do it once. You have to smoke many cigarettes to be dangerous, right? These statisticians, the actuaries say, you have to smoke every million cigarettes, someone dies. A million cigarettes kills someone. Okay, that's a lot of cigarettes. How many cigarettes someone smokes a smokes a lot. They can easily smoke 10,000 a day. They smoke for 20 years. That's, 200,000. Okay, that's 20% chance right there. I wouldn't want to get into that. Smoke for 30 years, 30% chance. Right? But one cigarette's not going to kill anyone. That's for sure. So therefore, he says it could be that you don't even need not to show from Hashem from a different angle. Don't even get into the sugya. The whole sugya is about one-time dangerous things. Cumulative danger is not usher in the first place. And that's how he explains the Rambam Hilchos Deos. Why did the Rambam say you should worry about your health, you should have proper diet, you shouldn't eat French fries? I'm speaking, translating him into our cultural context, etc. Why doesn't he say it's usher? Why does he just say it's good advice? Because anything that's only cumulatively dangerous is not usher, that's just a matter of musser. And no one thinks it's musser to smoke. Again, I don't know how to explain.
What about
he says Rav Shlomo Zalman, he says, no, that's only doing one-time dangerous things. Says Rav Shlomo Zalman, he says, there's no havamina of Isser at all for cumulative danger. So you don't even need Shomer Psalm Hashem. It's mutter even without Shomer Tzoyim Hashem, because there's no having an Aseret, because each one is not dangerous. That's a big cooler they quote from Shlomo Zalman, the Nishmas have run this in the brackets. Okay, if it's true, then it's a limud tzchus, but not one we want to spread. Now you can start listening again.
There's a two of Rabbi Akiva Eger that permitted smoking on Yom Tov, and a similar type he said because one cigarette is beneficial because it helps the digestion. That's what they thought.
Okay. Yeah, but that was a very different. That was very different.
No, but his point was
that you look at one is even if many of them are not.
Based on the cumulative danger, how would you look on? Is it this for every single time until you become addicted, or is it the first time you will
I would think, if based on what I said there, that it would be us for the first time, because one time might make you addicted.
One time.
Yeah. That's a, without Rishon. Rishon Zalman is a chiddush because the other postman didn't assume that way. Moshe didn't assume that way. He took a different angle. Okay, yes.
Isn't Rishon Zalman going out there with Bintia? That's a kind of funny.
So you're saying maybe he means the same thing? I'm not sure it's exactly the same, because that wouldn't necessarily work with the snake. But let me think about it. Okay, now I want to get back to our original sugya. The third nafkamina is birth control. Why do I say the third nafkamina is birth control? It's going to be complicated. But I'll start with the easy part. We paskin like Chachamim against Rebbeir. How do we know we pass like Chachamim? Halacha Karabim, right? Unless proven otherwise, we always pass like Chachamim. Hold on. If we pass like Chachamim, what's the big debate nowadays? Now, in the Achronim, there's also they deal at length with Moch Acher Tashmish. You can all deduce Moch Acher, well, maybe you can, maybe you can't, if you look inside. I'm gonna, just for simplifying matters, I'm not gonna discuss Moch Acher Tashmish, for the simple reason that modern day science says a Moch Acher Tashmish does not work as birth control. So let's discuss a Moch B'Shas Tashmish, right? That works as birth control, right? It's called the barrier method of birth control. You put a barrier that blocks the zera from going into the uterus, and it's an effective form of birth control. So what about a moch b'makom sakana? What if a woman has sakana, right? Like in the case of the Gemara, a woman has sakana to get pregnant. Is she allowed to use a moch? Right. This is a discussion in all the 18th, 19th, 20th, even 21st century poskim. Although I don't really have anything from the 21st. All the 18th, 19th, 20th century poskim, when the moch became popular, right? Obviously, it was a more they refined the moch gradually over the years to, it started as just rags, and then they were able to refine it to better to our modern day forms of birth control, which I'm not going to mention by name yet, because I just want to start with the moch and then tie it into modern day methods. But what about a moch b'mochum sakana? Right? So, birth control can... You use a moch b'shas tashmish. Again, they also discuss the tashmish. B'makom sakana. Right? That's exactly the question of the shalosh nashim, right? Can you use a moch b'makom sakana? So, this became an issue of what's shot in the sugya. Says the Binyan Sion, what would you think at first? Can you use a mochum sakana based on our sugya? No, because we pass like the Achamim and the Shamshos Kedarka Vaholchos, right? And Rabbeinu Tam says that the Chachamim were just saying it's Rishos. Yeah, but he's from the Acher Tashmish. Before Tashmish, everyone but the Yamshel Shlomo agrees it's Usher.
But aren't the three cases are sakana?
Exactly. This is the crux of the machlokes. What kind of sakana was this? So basically, this is the psak of the Divrei Malkiel and Rov Achronim. Says the but not used for a while. What? Says the Divrei Malkiel and the Achiezer. I'm not going in chronological order, I already realized, because the Achiezer is one of the last people. And the Tzemach Tzedek and the Chemda Shlomo. They all say mutter. Why? Because in a real sakana, there's no Shomer Psalm Hashem. That wasn't a real sakana. That was a rush. In a real sakana, even the Chachanim agree. Right? Mutter, because b'makom sakana mamish, Chacham Marmodeh. If it's a real sakana, of course, Chacham Marmodeh. Like if the doctor says it's really dangerous. Not like the old wives' tales they thought in the old days about Yasa Uber Sandal and these kind of things. No, the doctor said it's really dangerous. If it's a real medical danger by a qualified doctor, then everyone's modetz mutter. The Chum only disagreed because it wasn't real sakana. That's why this is such an afkamina. Our whole sugya is by a fake sakana. But not a fake sakana. Like a cheshra, like a maybe, could be, you never know. I've heard once someone once thought there was sakana. Then show him some Hashem. But if a real doctor tells us sakana, well, show him some Hashem. You have a doctor, you have to listen to the doctor. And then the Chacham Marmodeh. However, the Binyan Sion comes out explicitly. And the Chassam Sofer says the same thing, although he doesn't explain the sugya, right? The Kach Pasak Chassam Sofer. Binyan Sion says, Aser, why? Because it's a miut and it hasn't happened yet. Right? Aser, why? Because sakana is only a miut. If the sakana is only a miut, then it is aser.
How do you define sakana?
The doctor says you might die.
If the woman, if the psychiatrist says she may go insane,
I think it's a couple in the modern day post can say that's sakana. They cheat a little, right? Meaning, modern day people in the Western world say, well, insanity itself is terrible. You don't have a raya than shas, and that you know, say, once someone's insane, they might die. Okay, that's fair enough. And that's the modern day post can assume. That once someone's insane, they might die, because insane right. People don't know how to take care of their lives.
What about economic reasons?
Economic reasons are not sakana. Now, I haven't answered yet what's mutter for non-sakana reasons. But economic reasons are not sakana. Economic reasons are not sakana.
If a woman has a condition where, like, there's a 99% chance that she might die, like a blood pressure, no longer mute for her.
Correct. Okay. So correct. Then the Binyan Sion would say differently. But Lamaisa, mostly sakanas are, the doctor says you have a 10% chance sakana. Now, we take that very seriously, but still a miyot, and the Binyan Sion would have a big comrade and say, 10% sakana, it's not here yet? Just rely on God, Shomer Psalm Hashem. Again, our tradition, our Masorah, for Brisker certainly, and I think in even non-Brisker, is not like the Binyan Sion. What did Rav Moshe say? Based on Rav Moshe's pshat, what should Rav Moshe paskin? We already said this. Right? If it's a doctor says you have blood pressure, you have, in those days it was Nervin. Then is it mutter to use a moch or not? Yes, because Shomer Psalm Hashem is only for the natural sakana that Hashem protected you from. Right? He would say mutter because the chachamim only, or mutter because a specific disease is not Shomer Psalm Hashem, right? Meaning the Chachamim are Modeh. Shomer Psalm Hashem is a normal way of the world. Hashem told people to have marital relationship, to have marital relations. He never told sick people to have marital relations. He was only talking about a normal people. We have Havtacha. In a specific disease, there's no Havtacha. That's what he's saying. When someone has a disease, let's say better, because there's no Havtacha. If someone is sick, no, the Havtacha Hashem says normal people, men and women, should get married and should live together. But marital relations, that's a Havtacha, and Hashem will take care of it. He never gave you a havtacha for sick people. Of course sick people have their different rules. Of course the Torah says sick people have to watch themselves. So that read that, not he would say, he does say, right? Whenever I put them on the board, I mean they would say, I mean they did say. So Rav Moshe says, ah, shomer psalm Hashem was for the normal case. But if someone's sick, there's no shomer psalm Hashem, the chomer moda. Ben Yitzchak says, no shomer psalm Hashem for any future mega possibility. The doctor says 10% chance you might get pregnant and die, and have sakana. That's a future mega possibility. It's still awesome. The Rovach Rav said, shomer psalm Hashem is only for a one in a million, for an alleged sakana, for a non-serious sakana. If it's a serious sakana, even if it's only 2%, that's a serious sakana. Then, of course, the Chum would admit to Rebbe Meir. I don't know what the other people would say, but Lachora, if they say no, Shomer Psalm Hashem is only when you don't know it's dangerous. If you know it's dangerous, then you don't Shomer Psalm Hashem. Lachora, the Chum would be Moda. Right? And Lachora, likewise. Here it's a little tricky, meaning, here it's a little tricky, because Lachora, their whole shot in the sugi might be some different assumption, but let's say, if it's all about, it's too hard to be makbar in sakana, here if someone said, no, the doctor scared me, it's easy, I can be makbar in sakana, then Lachora would be much of them to be makbar in sakana. Okay, but that shot is not one of the mainstream shotim in this discussion anyway. Basically, the question is, if ours was a real sakana, and Chacham said Shomer Psalm Hashem anyway, then it's usher. If ours was a fake sakana, but a real sakana, everyone admits. And that's why, now I'm going to complicate in a moment, but John has to... I'm going to complicate in a moment, but it could be that it depends on this Shomer Psalm Hashem. Now I will just end with one or two ideas from the Achronim about why maybe even if you take this derech from Shomer Hashem, you can asr it anyway, or maybe if you take the other derech, you can matr it anyway. Let me just summarize and see what I can do. I was not serious when I said we're going to start page 51 today. Remember the beginning of the year, I said, whenever I say what I'm going to get to in Shiras Bli Neder. I'm glad I did that. But if you're talking about the svaros lesser, we're talking about still our case. There are three svaros that the post can bring to Aser. What are the three svaros the post can bring to Aser? Aleph, the Binyan Sion and the Chassam Sofer. They say, Shomer Psalm Hashem. No, you're not worried about this sakana. We don't worry about this sakana. Right? Shomer Psalm Hashem. Another svara to Aser, of course, is, which the Chassam Sofer brings as an additional svara, is he says, Hashinan Lishitas Rabbeinu Tam. What does Rabbeinu Tam hold? That Moch Kodem Tashmish is Aser Lekule Alma. Remember, Rabbeinu Tam says they were only discussing Moch Acher Tashmish, and Yevamos was clear. Moch before Tashmish, no one matured, even Mokum Sakana. Right? Afilu b'Mokum Sakana. That's what he said, at least as quoted in Yevamos. No one matured Kodem Tashmish. The whole sugi is Acher Tashmish. Kodem Tashmish, Isser Gomer in all circumstances. And then there's a very clever Rabbi Kiva Eger. Rabbi Kiva Eger says, Afilu Rab Meir Lo Hiter b'Mokum Sakana. He says even Rav Meir wasn't matir b'makom sakana. What do you mean Rav Meir wasn't matir sakana? He was just matir 3 women b'makom sakana. He says based on the Rishoni Sfarad, he wasn't matir b'makom sakana. He was matir because they wouldn't be able to have babies anyway. But if you're able to have babies and have sakana, then he wasn't matir. Ella hitir rak. The Gimel Nashim She'ein Kan Hashchasa Ki Mimela Einan Yecholos Laledes. He says, he wasn't matrix of Sakana. No, if it's sakana, so take a chance on sakana. He was only mapped to these three women because it wasn't ashkasa because they weren't going to have babies anyway. Or if they had babies, the other baby would die and they wouldn't end up having more babies. But if one could have a baby and just might die, there's no heter. It's ashkasa. You could have a baby and using a moch. No, if you could have a baby, even if you might die, there's no heter. But it was a mistake. Everyone but Rabbi Akiva Eiger thinks Rav Meir's heter is because of sakana. He says no. Rav Meir's heter is because there's no puruvu anyway. But there's no one who's mapped to Rishim sakana. Why is no matter from Sakana? Just don't have Tashmish. Don't do Tashmish and you don't have to worry. What are the Svaris Lahatir? The Svaris Lahatir are... On the other hand, what are the Svaris Lahatir? The Svaris Lahatir are, well, Aleph, what we saw from... What we saw from all the Achronim, right? The Divrei Malkiel and the Tzemach Tzedek and the Chemda Shlomo and who else did I quote? The Achiezer, of course. Right? And the Achiezer and Ke'en Zeb Igris Moshe, right? What is all their svara? Their svara is that Chachamim Modem L'Rav Meir B'Sakana Mamish, right? D'lo Shayach L'Meimar Shomer P'Soyim Hashem. Yeah, our sugya, this is the Rov Poskim, Rov Poskim or Matter. Our sugya was about a non-real sakana, either because it was a chashash rachok or a moshe, because it was a natural thing the Torah said was okay. But a real sakana, like a doctor has a medical diagnosis, everyone's mold is mutter makum sakana, less man de poly. Not only that, say, whatever in the tongue, and then you would ask, what about Rabbeinu Tam? Didn't Rabbeinu Tam say, so either, this is a machlokes of the poskim, either he's a shitas yachid, or even Rabbeinu Tam admits that it's mutter bin makom sakana mamish. That's what Moshe said. Even Rabbeinu Tam admits it's a real sakana it's matter. He says a little more complicated, but that's what Rav Moshe says. The Achiezer says. The Chemda Shlomo says. Even Rabbeinu Tam admits for real sakana. Maybe because he thought you could be afterwards, which we don't have to do nowadays. So therefore, we don't worry about Rabbeinu Tam. Either he's a Shitas Yachid, either he's a Shitas Yachid, or even he only meant it when there was another option and wasn't real Sakana. Right? But real Sakana, everyone admits. The other Svar, which is not so strong, is the Yamshel Shlomo, if you recall, Savar, Democh, Kodem Tashmish, Mutter, Lakuli Alma, Lakola Nasher. Remember, he had a sheet that's Yachid? It was a Mokhodim Tashmish, the Machlokes, do you have to or do you not have to? But everyone agrees it's Mutter. So he's a Mitzari for Yamshel Shlomo. Right? The Achiezer is Mitzari for Yamshel Shlomo. This is a Tziruf. Right? What I mean is, you add the Svar. No one's going to possibly like the Yamshel Shlomo. That's ridiculous. He's a sheet that's Yachid. But the Yamshel Shlomo says, a Moch before Tash is Mutter for everyone. Sheet is Yachid. We don't hold like him. The main reason, the mainstream poskim paskin lehakel, based mostly on their pshat and shomer psalm Hashem, they paskin hakel. No, the machlokes chamer of mayor was by a fake sakana, by a non-real sakana. By a real sakana, everyone admits it's mutter. And even Rabbeinu Tam, either he's a shit as yachid or would admit it's mutter by a real sakana. Let me just end with.
Couldn't you do the Tosfos here too? The Tosfos read? The Zeno was Gabin
Lashkin. Yes, but the Tosfos Red admits the Chacham disagree with him, so you're still going to have to deal with it. If you read on, he says, and the Chacham disagree, so you still have to get rid of the Chacham.
You still have to add the Biyos and Otidar.
Okay, correct. Meaning, you still have to plug back in the Svaras. Let me just point out, nowadays, it's not clear what's similar to a Moch nowadays. Right? We have two common barrier methods that are used, which one is more of a barrier than a moch, and one is less of a barrier than a moch. One is a condom. A condom is more than a moch, because in a moch, there's still contact between the busser of the husband and the busser of the wife. In a condom, there's no contact at all. So a condom is a big machlokes, whether it's like a moch or it's Isser Gomer. I put it in brackets here. Basically, it's Machlusi, the Maharsham, and the Achiezer. The Maharsham says, a condom's not like a... And I've heard, Baal Peh, that Rav Henkin, Zatzal, the Posek in America, Rav Yosef Elio Henkin, passed like this also. A condom, that's for sure Zerah L'Batala, no happening after that, that's not be at all a total barrier. For you can never matter a condom. While the Achiezer says, no, a condom is a moch. It's tashmish with a barrier, and therefore, if a moch is mutter, a condom is also mutter. So that's a big machlokis. And the modern day poskim are very reluctant to matter a condom, so much on the Achiezer, if there's any other choice, even though they're matter a moch. But that's a machlokis. The Maharsham, the Rav Henkin, I heard in Pia Shmua, said, a condom is for sure zera levatola, you can never matter it. It's worse than a moch. And the Achiezer says, a condom is the same as the moch, where a moch should just long tshuva. Has 2 days of that, and there's a whole lumbus, which I'm not, I don't have time to repeat now, and says, B'shas Adchak, you can make it on a condom, like the Achiezer, he doesn't quote him. So that's not the post of 9 days soon. B'makom Sakana, it's better to use a different bad method than a condom. B'makom Sakana, if you're really stuck where Moshe says, Yesh Makom Lahakel, and the Achiezer says a condom is like a moch. So just to summarize, is a condom as good as a moch? Right? The Maharsham and Rav Henkin say it's worse than a moch. No heter at all. The Achiezer says the same as a moch. So makom sakana, it's mutter. And Rav Moshe is mekel b'shas hadchak. Makom sakana b'shas hadchak, he's mekel. The other barrier method we have nowadays is called a diaphragm. Now a condom is more of a barrier than a moch, right? Because it covers the whole liver of the man. There's no contact at all. A diaphragm is less of a barrier than a moch, because a moch fills up the whole makom tashmish. A diaphragm is very small, and it's put all the way inside, and a diaphragm often is not in the place where the aver goes during tashmish, and it's not even in the makom tashmish. It's all the way deep inside. So this is a big machlokes. Rav Moshe and many achronim assume that, what about a diaphragm? D-I-A-F-R-A-G-M, I believe. Yes. Okay.
Didn't
so,
come up with my spell check.
Rav Moshe, Ve'od Harbe Poskim, assume a diaphragm, that's a moch. That's a moch. It's something which is inside, which blocks the zera. However, the Maharsham says, it's better than a moch. Why? Because it's further deep inside than the tashmish goes. And therefore, maybe that's not an unnatural tashmish at all. That's not... I mean, this goes back to the whole question of, on the one hand, it is wasting the zera. Perhaps, on the other hand, it is a normal tashmish. So he says maybe it's more mekel. Rav Shlomo Zalman is famous. I hope anyone got the article. And someday, if you didn't read it, you can. Rav Shlomo Zalman paskind in the early 80s, like the Maharsham, and then applied him further, says Rav Shlomo Zalman. He says, and therefore, mutter b'makom sevel gadol, it would be a big suffering even without sakana, he says. No, this is better. The Maharsham just said, that's better than a moch, it's for sure okay, makom sakana. Shlomo Zalman says, it's better than a moch, even without sakana, it's just very, very hard, it's going to be a big problem. He's matter diaphragm. Later on, they say that they Piashmur from Shlomo Zalman. That later on, he says afilu b'makom. You know, Zorich. Let's say even if it's not going to be a very terrible suffering, it's just going to be a small suffering. He was mekel, and he says, no, it's takin not a chashash of moch at all. It's just like the birth control pill. Okay, so, or almost as good. It better not to use it, but you don't need to have a tremendous chashachat to use it. As long as you have a justified reason, that's good enough. And then he says, even if someone's just not feeling as well, if someone is difficult for someone physically, and here you get into the question of, you know, maybe even for all kinds of reasons. You know, he wasn't asked all kinds of reasons. So this, by the way, is the big machlokes out of Yom HaZeh. The big machlokes out of Yom HaZeh among the poskim is the diaphragm. Almost all the poskim are matur makom sakana. Because that's your precedent from Rove of the Gedolei Achronim. Not all, but but many of the Gedolei Achronim about this Mavus Sakana. How that in less than Sakana, just a situation of great necessity, so that Rav Shlomo Zalman is quoted by very Ne'eman people as being Meka, and nowadays a lot of poskim, a lot of Rabbanim are possibly like Rav Shlomo Zalman to be more Meka and consider it not a moch at all. And to consider it, you know, just like a pill, okay, so you're not going to have kids, but it's not really a moch, it's not any hashkasa zera. And some people are not necessarily following that. So that's a big machlotz of nowadays, wherever you go, you find different opinions as to how to evaluate what a diaphragm is relative to a moch, and this basically underlies all the shilas and shuvas nowadays about birth control. Okay, I apologize, we didn't get to DAF 51 yet. All of those... What? What? No. Did I never send out 51?
No.
Ah, okay. Someone was told by